today on Living on Every Word.
It's the accusation of the enemy. Do you remember what you did? You are no good. You are a failure. You will never, ever, ever change. And yet God comes along and says, I've got a weapon for you. The breastplate of righteousness. This righteousness guards our heart from the onslaught of the enemy's words against us.
What are you being accused of today? What word is the enemy using against you? In today's study of the armor of God found in Ephesians 6, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us how to overcome the words of the accuser by using the second of the weapons of our warfare, righteousness.
Living on every word.
We are in the middle of a series on spiritual warfare. We've seen a couple of weeks ago that Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 on the screen, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. We have a struggle, and that struggle is not with flesh and blood. It is not with men and women. It is not with your son or your daughter. It is not with your wife or your husband. It is not with your son or daughter's teacher. Our struggle is not flesh and blood. It is not against people. The scripture says that our struggle is not against that, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenlies or in the heavenly places. Our struggle, our warfare is a spiritual warfare. In 1 Peter 5:8 on the screen, we saw that we are to be of sober spirit because your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. A spiritual warfare. And in Genesis chapter 3, we've been seeing what that looks like. You have the first couple, Adam and Eve. Their struggle is not going to be between one another. Their struggle is going to be with the enemy himself, the serpent of old, as the scripture says. And right out of the start of history, we see this serpent in verse 1 who is more crafty than any beast of the field. And he says to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, from the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat. But from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it or you will die. And the serpent said to the woman, you surely shall not die, because God knows that in the day that you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. And so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and she ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. And then the eyes of both of them were open. They knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. We saw a couple of weeks ago that the enemy is the deceiver. He's the deceiver. And he will deceive the world, the scripture says. The way that he deceives is that he questions the word of God and introduces his own truth. That's why we must gird our loins with the truth of God's word, with the truth of who Jesus Christ is. So that if the enemy comes and introduces into your life a doctrine or a principle that does not agree with the sound words of Jesus or a doctrine conforming to godliness, if the enemy comes and seeds that in your life and you don't have the loins of truth girded around you, you also will be deceived. He is the deceiver. And there's only one weapon against the deception of the enemy, and that's the truth of God's word. And if you're standing in God's word, if you are living in God's word, I'm going to tell you, by the power of God's Spirit and the power of God's word, you and I will not be deceived. Because we have a weapon that is mighty in God for the destruction of fortresses. That we get to tear down fortresses as believers in Christ. False doctrines, false words of this culture, of this world, to walk before God in holiness. This enemy comes in and says, no, the wages of sin is not death. Matter of fact, you can walk in it. You can walk in it and you can be your own boss. You can know and decide what is right and what is wrong. And I want to say this, no, you can't. If you think you can, I want to tell you, you've got a deception going on in your mind, and you will fall for everything because it just feels good. It's got to be according to God's word. Everything according to what God's word says. He is the enemy. He deceives. He deceives this woman. And notice in verse 6 it says the woman saw that the tree was good for food. What did she see? She lined up the enemy's word to her heart and she decided that that tree was good for food. It looked good and it was going to make her wise. And in that moment is when she began to fall. Because she walked in agreement with the truth of the enemy, which was just really a lie. The lie, as we saw a few weeks ago. He's the deceiver. Notice what happens when she eats and gives to her husband. In verse 7, that the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. The moment she sins, the moment he sins, guilt enters into their lives. The deceiver suddenly departs, and he comes now as the accuser. Has that ever happened to you? Where you know that you've been walking with God, and all of a sudden the enemy deceives or tempts and tempts and tempts you. And then he throws those missiles at you to do this sin, to walk in this lust, to steal that item, to do these things that are contrary to the word of God. And he deceives you and says, it's going to be okay. And then the minute that you do it, you cross over the threshold, and then all of a sudden you are drenched with guilt. The deceiver has left the building. And the accuser has entered in. The accuser of the brethren, where the enemy comes to accuse the brethren night and day, to accuse them, to condemn you for your sin. And that's why when the Spirit of God departs from this first man and woman, and they look at themselves and they realize that there is shame and there is guilt now in their lives, and all of a sudden the enemy comes and says, you are no good. You are a sinner. You are destined to walk in this the rest of your life. The scripture says that in Revelation chapter 12, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, who accuses them before our God day and night. Folks, the scripture says that we're to gird our loins up with truth to come against the deceiver. But yet here is the accuser who comes to lay down guilt on you for sins that you've committed and have dealt with and have come to grips with, the life change that's taken place in your life, and all of a sudden he comes back and seeds that guilt. Seeds, do you remember that? Do you remember what you did? You are no good. You are a failure. You will never, ever, ever change. It's the accusation of the enemy. The enemy comes before God day and night, and is accusing you. Accusing you. Now, you got pictures of this in Scripture. You've got Job in Job chapter 1. Do you remember that? You remember? The accuser shows up in the courts of God and accuses Job for false motives in his righteousness. Go on and turn there for just a moment. Job chapter 1. The word says that there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. That man was blameless, upright, fearing God, and turning away from evil. Scripture says he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. And he had a whole lot of possessions, okay? And the enemy, the scripture says in verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from roaming about on the earth and walking around on it. What is he doing? He said, the lion roaming about seeking someone to devour. You notice that God is a God whose eyes are run to and fro, that he might show himself powerful to those who love him. You have a roaming enemy, and you have God who is also moving about, wanting to show himself strong in your life. The Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There's no one like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man. He fears God, he turns from evil. And Satan answered the Lord, does Job fear God for nothing? Here's the accusation. Have you not made a hedge about him and his house and all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he has. Touch his possessions. Touch his children. And he, the scripture says, the accusation is he will curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has in your power, only do not put forth your hand on him. So Satan departed from the presence of the Lord. Accusation. And God happens to say, okay, sift him. Okay, test him. And you watch what my servant does. And you see what he does when he loses his possessions, and when he loses his sons, and he loses his daughters. The scripture says, he shaved his head, he tore off his clothes, hit the ground, and he worshiped his God. And he said, the Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Through the trial, through horrible circumstance. Can you imagine losing one child? Much less 10 children. 10 children. In one swoop, losing it all. Enemy comes back and says, ha, he is so in love with his carton. If you'll take his body and just begin to destroy it, then he'll no longer be a worshiper. So God says, okay, touch him. So the enemy goes out, touches him with sores and boils, becomes unrecognizable. The scripture says, in all of this, he did not sin. And yet he worships, he remains a steadfast worshiper of God. And I want to ask you, are you remaining a steadfast worshiper of God through your health issues, through your financial issues, through the struggles that you have in many areas of your life? Are you remaining steadfast as a worshiper of God? The accusation of the enemy is that no, you won't. You will not. So let me sift this man. Let me sift this marriage. And let's just see how powerful the Spirit of God is in their lives. We see this in Peter's life. In Luke chapter 22, verse 31, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But listen, I've prayed for you, Peter. I'm your advocate, that your faith may never fail in you. When once you turned again, strengthen your brothers. And he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to die for you. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you've denied 3 times that you know me. The enemy's come to me and he's demanded to sift you. And I've given him permission. And listen, when you turn, you strengthen your brothers. He said, wait a minute, I'm not going to fall. I'm not going to have any reason to turn. I'm going to keep going straight ahead. He says, I'm sorry, but you're going to deny me 3 times before this day even begins. Before it begins. You know, I think that Peter probably experienced the most difficult time, not when he denied him, but after he denied him, with the guilt that the accuser would bring on him for denying the Lord Jesus Christ. You've ever been there? Guilt. That you have messed up and there is no hope for you. It'll always remain the same for you. Accusation, guilt, guilt for the past, guilt for the sin. And I want to say this. There's some of us in here that continue to hold on to guilty feelings over things that we have taken care of and that we have set at the feet of Jesus, but we still walk in this guilt. And my God has come to take that guilt away so that you might come against the accuser of the brethren, so that you might come and find what God really does have for you. When I think of accusation, it's as if an accuser comes to condemn you. It's like this prosecuting attorney who comes against the defendant to condemn, to expose guilt, secrets, and lies. But he's more than just a prosecuting attorney. He's a corrupt one. And this enemy comes and he says, you are guilty of your sins. And he comes and says, you'll never be free from the guilt. You'll always fall. Your motives are impure. Let me tempt him and he'll fall away from you. You are nothing. You have nothing to offer. You're unworthy. And you'll always be guilty in my eyes. And I'll never forgive you. And I'll always somehow remind you of what you did to me. Condemnation, accusing. And yet God comes along and says, listen, I've got something so much better than the accuser. I've got a weapon for you. And that weapon, according to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on, here it is, the breastplate of righteousness. He says, you put it on. And you know what's interesting about the scripture in Ephesians chapter 6? He says, stand firm, having girded your loins with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. When you come to Christ, you are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. He dresses you in the white robes of righteousness, His righteousness. And the scripture says, listen, it's already done deal. Listen, you have already put on the loins of truth. You've already put on the breastplate of righteousness. Stand firm. Walk in agreement with what God's already dressed you with, that He's already put on you. He's put on a breastplate of righteousness, a flapjack. I got one right here. This thing protects Charles's heart, and it protects his inner extremities, and it watches his back. It guards his heart so that if he's in a situation where somebody shoots him, this breastplate, this armor, this thing that stands in the way of that bullet protects his heart. I want you to see the breastplate of righteousness today as the enemy fires his darts of guilt and accusation that protects your heart, because you have this belief that this breastplate of righteousness will protect me from the accusations of the enemy. Therefore, I go into war. I go and do my job. I don't listen to the enemy that says, unworthy. It doesn't pierce my heart. I don't believe it. I don't listen to the enemy's word that I might have heard from my father. You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. What does it mean to have the righteousness of God in your life? You know, when we come into this world, we know as believers in Christ that there is nothing good within us. The scripture says there is none righteous, not one. And righteousness and holiness and perfection is the character that God requires for you to have relationship with Him, for you to go to heaven when you die. And the problem is that which is righteousness, that which is right, that which conforms us to God's will, that which has been appointed by God to be acknowledged and obeyed, it's the requirements of God. And the problem is that we come into this world with this sinful flesh, with this propensity to sin. And before you know it, we're sinning. Folks, we come into this world with sin, and we have no hope in this world because this righteousness is unattainable by obedience to any law, by any merit of man's own, or any condition other than that of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, Paul comes along and says, you want to know about the accuser and how to come against this guilt that you feel or this guilty sentence that's been placed upon you? You come to Christ and put on the breastplate of righteousness. And I want to tell you what that is. That breastplate of righteousness is the Lord Jesus Himself. The breastplate of righteousness is simply Jesus Christ living in me and living in you. The righteousness of Christ is the work of Christ at the cross 2,000 years ago. Because you see, He is the one who comes and protects our heart. It's His righteousness, not ours. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, by God's doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom, that's how we act, righteousness, that's who we are, sanctification, that's the process, and the redemption of our soul by which we have relationship with Him. Again, it's Christ Jesus who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness, and sanctification. It's like we come and we take this breastplate, and it's Jesus It's His righteousness, and we put Him on, and He guards our heart. This righteousness guards our heart from the onslaught of the enemy's words against us. How many of us have been condemned? How many of us have heard words of condemnation? How many of us have been accused of things that we really didn't do, and yet accused of things that we really did do? And we fall on our knees and we ask, "Oh God, will you forgive us?" And He says, "Yes, because of my righteousness, because of my holiness, because what I took on the cross 2,000 years ago when I died for you." Scripture says that He is an advocate. 1 John 2:1, "My little children, I'm writing these things that you may not sin. And if anyone sins," don't you like that word "if"? Not when you sin, if you sin. But He says this, now listen, if you do, if you happen to mess up, I want you to know that you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. Look at it, the righteous one. So that I come to this point in my life that I believe that this advocate, this one who pleads your case before the judge, He's your defense attorney, who not only defends you, but has already stood in your place and said, "I took that sin. I took that sin. I took that failure. I took that season in your life that you walked in rebellion. I took it on myself." You and I pursue righteousness by faith in what Christ did 2,000 years ago. By faith. I believe that what He did for me. Paul says it this way in Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. "And I may be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith." The Scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." Wow. The righteousness of God in my life? I mean, I have God's righteousness in my life. God's holiness. How does that happen? We find the illustration of this through Abraham, the father of faith, in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and following. Verse 1. "Now the Lord said to Abram, go forth from your country, from your relatives and from your father's house to this land that I'm going to show you. And guess what I'm going to do for you? I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed." I love what it says here. It says, "I will, I will, I will, I will. I will bless you. I will make your name great. I will do this." And as far as I'm concerned, the minute that God said it, it's settled. It's done. God said this. And I want to tell you, when you look at what happens in Abraham's life, at 75 years old, all of a sudden God's saying, "I'm going to make you a great nation." And he has no children. And God appears to him and says, "I'm going to make you a great nation." So he builds an altar, worships God. Maybe 10 years later, "I'm going to make you a great nation." He builds an altar. But somewhere right around the age of 100 years old, God appears to him again. 25 years from the first time God appeared to him. That's a long time, isn't it? 25 years of hearing God and wondering, when is God going to do what He said He's going to do? And you find that in chapter 15. Wonderful passage. "After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, 'Do not fear, Abram. I'm a shield to you. Your reward will be very great.'" And Abraham said, "Wait, wait a minute, God. What are you going to give me? I'm childless. The person who's going to get all my stuff is Eliezer of Damascus. He's a foreigner. He's not of my bloodline." And Abram said, "Since you've given me no offspring, one born in my house is my heir." And then behold, the word of the Lord came to him saying, "This man will not be your heir, but one who will come forth from your own body. He shall be your heir. Now you go out and you look toward the heavens and you count the stars if you're able to count them." And he said, "So shall your seed be." And then the scripture says in verse 6, "Then he believed in the Lord." And you know what God did? He reckoned him as righteous. In that one moment, he said, "Son, you're righteous. You're holy. You're blameless." Isn't that a good word? Don't you want to hear that? And you know, it's like this. We hear the word of the enemy and we get conformed to the enemy's word. And God comes along and says, "You are righteous, not because of your works and not because of what you've done or not done or whatever you'll do. You've been chasing me and you've been offering sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. I don't want your sacrifice. Just believe me." And in that moment he said, "You're righteous. You're righteous." After 25 years of hearing the word, then he believes in the Lord. You know what God says? That's what I was waiting for. "You are righteous, and I'm going to fulfill my word." And you know what? 9 months later, he's got a baby, 100 years old. The fulfillment of God's word. You know God's promises to you? That he is going to make you righteous. That he has already made you righteous. That he is going to finish his work. And you know what he does? He says, "Listen, if you'll just believe me, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, believing that you are righteous in me, listen, just believe me. Believe that you are the righteousness of God, and it is fulfilled as you walk this out." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. I ask the question, as I've asked before, what accusation and what condemnation are you under today? What failure, what sin, what junk does the enemy keep bringing up over and over and over in your life that you've got to lay down by having put on the breastplate of righteousness? By believing that what Jesus said he would do in your life, that he'd forgive you and remember your sins no more, that he'd set your feet upon the rock and put a new song in your mouth, that he'd come and he'd transform you and see this positional righteousness become practical righteousness, a holiness of faith, a holiness of fruit that says, "I'm truly his child." The breastplate of righteousness will defeat the accuser every single time. Let me ask you, who's accusing you? Who's judging you? Who's condemning you? Will you just believe today that you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? That old things are passed away, all things become new. That our nature is divine. That he's placed his spirit in our lives as a seal, as a testimony. And because we have his spirit, I have love and joy, peace, patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No longer guilty, but I'm free today in Christ Jesus. That my weapons of my warfare are divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. That worry, that anxiety, that fear, driven out because of the righteousness of God. And as I worry over finances or my children or my children's state, or I'm anxious about the next steps that I'm supposed to walk in this life or the decisions that we have to make, those things just grow strangely dim in light of the righteousness of God. Breastplate of righteousness will drive the accuser away, who has nothing to accuse you of, because Jesus, your righteousness, took your sin and your failure on the cross 2,000 years ago. And you know what you need to hear? You need to hear today what Jesus said to that woman caught in adultery. "I don't condemn you either. Your sins are forgiven. Go and sin no more."
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.